Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom and welcome back to today's Daf Yomi, Shabbos Daf Tesayin, where Tezvav Amud Beis, the last line, says the Gemara, Ela Me'ata. Now the Gemara taught us that the Chachamim imposed the halachos of Tumah V'Tahara on Klei Zechuchis, on glassware. Although in the Torah we don't find any mention of glassware incurring Tumah V'Tahara. Nevertheless, the Chachamim made a gzera that the halacha should apply to glassware as well. This was one of the 18 gzeres shegazru b'bayoyim that were enacted by the Talmidim of Shammai and Hillel. And why indeed did the Chachamim apply the halachas of Tumah V'Tahara to glassware as well? The Gemara gave us the reason: Hoyil utchilas b'riyasa menachoyla. Since the beginning of its formation is from sand, it comes from sand. Therefore, it is close in nature to kli cheres, to earthenware, and therefore the Chachamim applied the same halachas of Tumah V'Tahara that kli cheres have. They applied that to kli zechuchis as well. The Gemara told us that what follows this svara, since kli zechuchis are put into the same category as kli cheres, that the halachas of kli cheres will apply to kli zechuchis as well. For instance, just as kli cheres cannot be immersed in a mikveh, if a kli cheres becomes tummy, the only way to be metayer it is by breaking it, by rendering it unfit for use. Similarly, kli zechuchis are in the same category. You can't be toivel, can't immerse a kli zechuchis in a mikveh if it becomes tummy. You need to break it, shvirasan metarasan, you need to perforate it, make it unfit for use, and nullify its keli status, its vessel status, and by doing so, it becomes tar. Says the Gemara, Ela Me'ata, if so, that kli zechuchis were put into the same category as kli cheres with regards to the halachas of Tumah. If so, why don't we apply the other halacha of kli cheres to kli zechuchis as well? For instance, Ela Me'ata Loy L'Tamu Migavon. It shouldn't become tameh from the outside, just as a kli cheres cannot be mekabel Tumah, cannot contract Tumah from the outside of the kli. It could only be mekabel Tumah from the inside, from the interior of the kli. We learn from the pasuk, that the only way a kli cheres will become tummy, if the tumah, for instance, the sheretz, the dead mouse, a lizard, falls into the interior of the kli cheres. But if it merely touches the flat surface on the outside of the kli cheres, migabon doesn't become tummy. Says the Gemara, why don't we apply the same principle, the same concept, to the kli zechuchis as well? Since kli zechuchis are put into the same category as kli cheres. And we know that's not so. The kli zechuchis does not have this stipulation, does not have this exemption. It could even be mekabel tumah from the outside. Again, Ela Me'ata, look, letamu migabon, alo matnan. If so, why did we learn in the Mishnah that teaches us otherwise, that kli zechuchis indeed can be mekabel tumah migabon? Says the Mishnah, kli cheres b'kli neser, earthenware, and the kli neser, which is some similar type of earthenware, as she says, it's from a light-colored earth, min adama levana, some white earth. So the Mishnah tells us that these two things, tumas on shava, they are on equal status, on equal footing, regarding hilchas tum. For instance, mi tamin, they can both be makabel tumah, they can receive tumah, ume tamin, and they can transfer tumah to something else, me avirein, via their airspace. They don't even need to come into contact with the item in order for them to become tameh or to transfer tumah to something else. For instance, if a sheretz is lowered into their airspace, that already transfers tumah to the kli itself. The airspace is a conduit to transfer tumah both ways. If something tar comes into the avir of a kli cheres, to the interior airspace of a kli cheres, which is tameh, so the kli cheres, which is tameh, transfers its tumah via its airspace to this item that is lowered into its airspace. So once again, mitamin, it can be mekabel, can receive tumah, umitamin, it can transfer tumah to something else through via this conduit of mei avirein, its interior airspace, the avir of its toich. What else? Umitamin, it can receive a tumah, it can accept tumah, mei achirein, from behind. What this means is, let's say on the backside of the kli, there's some hollowed out area, an area which can technically receive something. For instance, the base of a goblet. So there is some sort of teich there. There is a hollow area which is fit to receive. It's not a flat outer surface. That is me'achirein. So these kelim, kli cheres, kli neser, can be makabel tuma. Me'achirein, if a tuma touches that outer area, it is metame de kli cheres. However, ve'ein metamen migabein. But it can't be makabel tuma simply from its gav, from its flat outer surface. One more thing, says the Mishnah, Ushvirasan metarasan. The only way to be metar, to purify a klicheres or klineser, is through shvira, through breaking it, through rendering it unfit as a kli, as a vessel. It loses its status of kli, and that's how it becomes tar. So once again, the Mishnah tells us there are four concepts which apply to both klicheres and klineser. The concept of avir, that the airspace, the interior airspace, the avir of the teich, is a conduit to transfer tumah from the klicheres to another item, and the same in reverse. It is a conduit, is a medium for the klicheres to receive tumah from something which is tameh that was lowered into its airspace. The Mishnah tells us it is mekabel tumah me'achirein, if there's an outer area which is a hollowed out area, like the base of a goblet, which has some sort of teich there. If you flip over the goblet, you can actually put something into this achiraim. So if something touches that achiraim, it is metamedically, but not through migabon, not merely the flat outer surface of the kli. That is called the gav, the back of the kli, and you cannot transfer tumah into the kli via the gav. Finally, there's no immersion in the mikvah for kli cheres and kli neser. If it becomes tummy, you need to break it. Says Gemara, we can infer from here, we have a diuk, kli neser or kli cheres, who did tumas on shavet. Only cheres and neser have these halachas. Only they have this exemption of that they're not mekabel tuma, migabein from their back. Apparently, avo midi achrin aloi, perhaps, apparently, other types of kelim, for instance, like a kli zchuchis, a glassware, indeed can be mekabel tuma from the flat outer surface. How does that work? If we're going and saying that kli zchuchis, I'll put it to the same exact category, kli cheres. Kli cheres is the root, is the source, the deviation for the tuma of kli zchuchis. So why don't we put kli zchuchis entirely into the category of kli cheres and let it have all the halachis of kli cheres? And why do we find this discrepancy that kli cheres is not mekabel tuma from the flat outer surface from the gav, and regarding kli zchuchis, apparently it is mekabel tuma megavi. Says the Gemara, Amri. So they said as follows. Indeed, kli zchuchis is close in nature to kli cheres. It is created, is formed from the sand. Therefore, it has the same halachis as kli cheres. It's mekabel tuma. It cannot be put into a mikveh. However, says the Gemara, let's keep in mind that kli zchuchis is also close in nature to other types of kelim. How is that? Amri says the Gemara, the answer as follows. Kiva dechinish tabru, yesh lam takana. Since we find something unique by kli zchuchis, unlike kli cheres, for instance, if a kli zchuchis breaks, we can take the shards of glass and crush it and remelt it and reform it, recreate with it a new kli, we can recycle it. And that way it is very different than kli cheres, which once it breaks, it's unfit for use. It's goodbye. So, since we find that kli zchuchis is close in nature to other kelim, for instance, like it's like a kli matris, it's like a metalware. Why? Because it can be recycled. The material, the chomer of the kli zchuchis can be reformed afterwards and recreated into a new kli. If so, says the Gemara, since it has some similarities to kli matris, which also has that type of nature, a metalware, a kli made of metal, you can go ahead and reform it, reshape it. Therefore, shavinu kli matris. Therefore, the chachamim, they compared it. They applied some halachas of kli matris as well. So it's interesting that kli zchuchis carries both elements. It contains similarities to both types of kelim. It's close in nature to kli cheres, and therefore it has some halachas of kli cheres. Number one, it can become tamei. Number two, we can't immerse it in the mikvah. At the same token, says the Gemara, it also is close in nature to kli matris. Because unlike kli cheres, which once it breaks, it's gone. It's not It's not, we can't recycle it any longer. However, kli zchuchis, once it breaks, we can go ahead and reshape it, remelt it, reform it. So in that sense, it is close in nature to kli matris, to metalware, and therefore, the Chacham applied some halachis of kli matris to the kli zchuchis as well. So it's some sort of joint halacha. Kli zchuchis contains elements and halachis of both types of kelim. Now, it's interesting, the Achronim, the Kedusharim, and others point out that we find many, many differences, many discrepancies between the halachos of Klei Cheres, earthenware, and other kelim. For instance, the halacha of Avir, that the airspace of a Klei Cheres is a conduit, is a medium to transfer tuma to and from the Klei. This is something we don't find regarding other types of kelim. The Gemara told us that the halacha of Gav, of the flat outer surface, by Kli Cheres is different than other Kalim. A Kli Cheres is not Makabel Tumah from its outside, from its flat outer area. However, other Kalim can be Makabel Tumah from the Gav. So the Mefarshim point out that perhaps this is based on a fundamental difference in nature, in perception, between Kli Cheres and other Kalim. Kli Cheres is very different in the sense that the actual material of the Kli Cheres, of the earthen kelim, the actual chomer, the earth that we form the kelim with, is very ordinary, it's very low in value. The value, the chashivah, significance of the Kli Cheres is primarily based and connected to its function, to its use, to its interior, to the fact that it's able to receive, to be makabel, and to serve us in that way. It's not the chomer, it's not the material that has value, but rather it's the shimush, it's the use. And therefore we understand that the primary focus by Kli Cheres is on the toich, on the interior, not only on the interior surface, but even on the interior airspace. It's considered to be part of the interior. It's included in the inside of the Kli, where that is the place of shimush, that is the place of use, of function of the Kli. And therefore, the toich, and the avir of the toich, indeed, is considered to be the focal point of the kli, and the tuma gets transferred to and from the avir. However, the gav, the outer surface of the kli, the outside of the kli, that serves no real purpose. It's not the mokum shimush of the kli. It's not where the kli serves us. And since, once again, the value of the kli is because of its service, because of its shimush, because it's providing use, and receiving items. In that sense, we say that the pnim, the toich, is the primary area of the kli, and not the gav, not the outer area, the outside of the kli. However, regarding other types of kelim, like kli matris, in those kelim, it's not only the function that's important, it has value based on the actual material itself. The metal itself, the gold, the silver, carries value. So regarding those kelim, it's not just the toich, not just the interior, the ability to receive and to serve that gives the kli its chashiv, its value. The kli has value based on its actual material, based on its chomer. So its identity is related to its chomer, to its material as well. Therefore we understand that a kli matris is makabel tuma only when there is actual contact with its chomer, with its material, with its surface. And at the same time, it is also makabel tuma from the outside. Because once you touch the chayim, once you touch the material, you've come into contact with the integral part of the vessel of the kli. At the same time, the avir, the airspace, carries no special significance. It's the surface. It's actually coming into contact with the surface material of the kli that has the ability to connect you with the kli. So this is the fundamental difference between Klei Cheres, earthen kelim, where its only value is based on the function, on the shimush, on the use. And that is very much connected and related to the toich and the airspace of the interior. And other kelim, where the value is based on the actual material, we identify it through its material, through its chomer, and therefore needs to be direct contact with the material, regardless of whether it's the inside or the outside. Getting back to Klei Schuchas, if so, it appears that Klei Schuchas, glassware, carries both elements, is close in nature, and related to both of these concepts. It's a combination. It's a combined concept. On the one hand, it's formed from sand. In that sense, it has similarities to Klei Cheres, to earthen kelim. It is tame like a Klei Cheres. It can't have tvila like a Klei Cheres. At the same time, Gemara tells us that regarding the Tumas Gav, it can be mekabel tuma from the outside. Why? Since if a Klei Schuchas breaks apart, kiven dechinishtabru, yeshlem takana, we can't go ahead and repair it again. We can remelt it, recycle it, reform it, reshape it. So we see here that the chomer as well, the material of the kli, has value, has chashivas, unlike a kli cheres. So in this sense, it is close in nature to kli matris. Since the actual material has chashivas, so we relate it in that sense to other kelim, where we find a similar concept, that even if it breaks apart, even if the use is no longer, the actual vessel is rendered no longer fit for use. However, the material, the gold, the silver, the metal, outlasts the actual kli, the actual utensil. You can go reform it, reshape it again. So it's the material of the kli that has the value, that has the significance, that has the identity here. And therefore, the kli schuchas as well is connected to that, connected to this halacha, and it has this element as well. And therefore, when the kli schuchas becomes tamei, migaboy, and indeed is mekabel tuma, migaboy, as long as the tuma touches its surface, even if it's on the outside, which is not the ikur makim of its tashmish, not the ikur place where it functions mainly on the inside. Nevertheless, since you come into contact with the chomer, with the actual material of the kli schuchas, is mekabel tuma, because the kli schuchas, the chomer, the material of the kli schuchas, has significance, has chashivas, has value. Okay, says the Gemara, so the conclusion is that Klei Schuchas carries elements of both. On the one hand, it has halachas of Klei Cheres. On the other hand, the Chachamim also imposed halachas of Klei Matris, because Klei Schuchas is a joint Klei, it's a combined entity. Says the Gemara, Ela Meyata, if so, why don't we apply other halachas to Klei Schuchas as well? Other halachas of Klei Matris should be imposed on Klei Schuchas. Ela Meyata Yachs Rule to Masan Yishana. For instance, there's a halacha that a Klei Matris, a Klei of metal, if it becomes Tamei, and then you go ahead and you metar it, the Gemara later will explain the details of this halacha, it can revert back to its earlier Tuma. Says the Gemara, this unique halacha that Klei Matris contain should be applied to Klei Schuchas as well. Says Gemara El Meata, if we apply the halachas of Klei Matris to glassware, if so, why don't we apply the following halacha as well? Yachzor to Masan Yishana, Klei Matris. Where do we find this halacha? It's not Klei Matris, metalware, Pshuteyen, Umekableyen Toyer. Regardless of whether it's a flat Klei without a Toyer, without an interior, or Umekableyen, or if the Klei Matris indeed has an interior, a toich to receive. Either way, tamein, they are tamei. There's no stipulation, no condition that a klei matris needs to have a toich, an interior, in order to be mekabel tuma. Nishbru, taru. If the klei matris breaks, it becomes tar. Chazar va'asamem kelim. If he takes his broken vessel and reforms it, repairs it, and makes it fit for use again, chazru l'tumasa on yishana. It reverts back to its old tuma. So this is a halacha unique to klei matris, to metalware. However, regarding glassware, we find otherwise. It doesn't have this halacha. The Mishnah tells us, klei eitz, wooden kelim, uklei oyer, leather kelim, uklei etzem, kelim made from bones, uklei schuchis, and glassware, pshutei and toyer, if they're really flat without an interior, they're toyer, Rashi explains. Since we are makish, we connect, the pasuk connects with the hekesh, the other kelim to sak, which is a sack, which has an interior, which has a klei kibul, it can contain items within. So apparently the Torah is connecting the two things, and just as a sack has an interior and therefore it is mekabel tuma. It can contract tuma. So to the other kalim, kli eitz, oyer, etzem, and the Mishnah puts together kli schuchas as well, has the stipulation and precondition. In order for them to be mekabel tuma, they need to have a toich, an interior, a place where they can receive something. So pshutim, they're really flat, without a toich, they're tar. If indeed they can be mekabel something, they have an interior, in that case, they are in the category of kelim that can be mekabel tum. Continues the Mishnah. Nishbru, if they break, taru. This indeed is mitar those kelim. Chazav asmem kelim. If it goes ahead and reforms these into kelim, mekabel tum, mekabel laba. Going forward, indeed, they have a status of a kli, and they can be mekabel tum. However, mekano laba in. But not retroactively. They don't revert back to their former tumah. So we see clearly that even a kli schuchas doesn't have this halacha. Says Gemara, why? If we just finished saying that kli schuchas is put somewhat into the same category of kli mateches, so why don't we apply this halacha of kli mateches to kli schuchas as well? Answers the Gemara. We must keep in mind that tumas kli schuchas derabbanan. The old concept of a glassware becoming tummy, it's only a rabbinic concept. It's a gzera derabbanan. V'tumi yishana derabbanan. And this whole concept that a kli matris reverts back to its old tumah, once repaired, that also is only a tumah derabbanan. The Gemara later explained the reason for this tumah derabbanan. So this is a double derabbanan. Therefore, says the Gemara, we won't pile up two derabbanans. V'tumah deiraisa achiser berabbanan tumah. Only with regard to tumas, which are biblical concepts, which are tumah deiraisa, do the Rabbanan impose those tumas on kli schuchas? Since kli schuchas is in the Rabbanan imposed hilchas tumah, but which ones? Only a halachot of tumah, which is min ha-toira. However, the tumah de Rabbanan lo yachisu lo Rabbanan tumah. But a tumah which is merely a Rabbanan tumah, like this whole concept of a kli reverting back to its old tumah, once it became tar and it was repaired, this is a rabbinic concept, this is a tumah de Rabbanan. The Rabbanan did not apply this to kli schuchas, which at the root is only a tumah de Rabbanan. The Rabbanan did not pile up two de Rabbanans, one on top of the other. So this explains why kli schuchas, although it's similar somewhat to kli matchis, and has halachis, somewhat of kli matchis, nevertheless, a tumah de Rabbanan, which kli matchis contain, that was not imposed on kli schuchas. Says Mar, okay, you've explained why kli schuchas does not have this halacha of being chizer l'tumasa yishana because it's merely a tumah derabbanan. What about a tumah deraisa, like the halacha of pshutein, we just mentioned, that only certain types of kelim, clay eitz, clay or clay etzem, have this precondition that they need to have a toich, need to have an interior, in order for them to be kabel tumah. However, the Mishnah told us, clay matchis, metalware, doesn't have that condition. Even pshutim, if they're merely flat, they're a utensil, clay, don't have an interior toich. They indeed are tamim natoir, because they're not found in that pasuk. There's no hekesh from sak to clay matchis. Therefore, a clay matchis, even if it's merely flat without an interior, is tamim. Says more, that indeed, that certainly is a tumah deraisa. Why don't we apply that to kli schuchas as well? It says more pshutehen, flat kli schuchas, glassware that have no interior, mi'al tamei. That also should become tamei. Why the pshute kli matchis deraisenino? This halacha that kli matchis are tamei even when they are pashut with no interior, that certainly is a din deraisa. So here we find a tumah deraisa that kli matchis have, and nevertheless we don't apply it to kli schuchas. Why is that the case? Why do we say in the Mishnah that a kli schuchas, which is a pashut, which is, doesn't have an interior, it is tar? Why don't we apply this halacha that we find in kli matchis to kli schuchas as well? Says Mar, you're right. However, of the rabbanon hekira, the chachamim wanted to make a deviation, a heker, something to call attention to the unique status of kli schuchas. To declare that kli schuchas is only a tumah derabbanan, that the whole concept that glassware becomes tamei, that's only a gzera derabbanan, but it is not a din Torah. Therefore, the Rabbanim wanted to make some sort of a deviation. They gave Kli Zechuch as an exemption and did not apply this halacha of Pshutim to Kli Zechuches. Why did they do so? Why was it so important to make a heker, says the Gemara, Ki Hechi, so that the Loi Lisrif Alayu Truma V'Kachim, so that the public would not erroneously conclude that Kli Zechuches is Tomei Min HaTorah, and for instance, if it comes into contact with Truma or Kachim, you need to burn the Truma V'Kachim. But it's not the case. In reality, since Kli Zechuches is only Tomei Min Midrabbanim, there's no Tomei Min HaTorah in Kli Zechuches, since it's only Midrabbanim, we're not meant to burn Truma V'Kachim as a result of a Truma Midrabbanim. Rashi points out, we never burn Truma as a consequence of a Truma Midrabbanim, except for those six fakers mentioned in Daf Tesvav. Those are exceptions. Apparently, the Midrabbanim held those scenarios on a very high standard, and they applied the halacha of Torah. They considered it to be a definite Truma, like a Truma not Torah. And therefore, Sreifa indeed does take place as a consequence, as a result of those six tumas. However, generally speaking, with regard to other tumas midrabanan, we never go ahead and burn Truma V'Kachim as a result of that tuma. So therefore, the Gemara explains to us that the Chacham wanted to call attention to that discrepancy between other tumas min HaTorah and the tumas Kli Zechuches, the glassware tuma, which is merely a tuma midrabanan acted as a gzera from the Yudchas gzeras. And therefore, the Rachacham exempted Kli Zechuches from this particular halacha. And therefore, they said that a Kli Zechuches, which is flat, which is pashut, which doesn't have a teichen interior, is indeed tar. Although, theoretically speaking, it would have made sense to say that it was tameh. Because since Kli Zechuches is compared to Kli Matris, and Kli Matris is tameh when it's a pashut, so that halacha should apply to Kli Zechuches as well. However, the Rabbanan exempted Kli Zechuches from this stringency to call attention to its unique status, to its lenient status, that it's merely a midrabbanan. So in summary, Kli Zechuches have some similarities to Kli Cheres. It is tamei like a Kli Cheres. It cannot be immersed in a mikveh like a Kli Cheres. However, the Gemara added that since Kli Zechuches is also close in nature, it has some elements similar to a Kli Matris. If it breaks apart, you can reform it. The glass itself has value, has significance beyond the actual vessel, the use of the vessel. It's the chaymer, it's the material that also has value. Therefore, its identity doesn't just lie in its use, but also in its inherent value of its material. And therefore, in that sense, it's close in nature to Kli Matris. And we impose some halachas of Kli Matris as well. For instance, just as a Kli Matris is mekabel tuma from the outside, migaboy, Kli Zechuches as well. The Gemara concluded, however, that we only apply to Kli Zechuches a tuma which is a biblical tuma, a tuma d'oraisa. But for instance, the tuma of yachzor to masan eishana, to revert back to its old tuma when it breaks apart and it's repaired, that we don't do, because that's merely a tuma d'rabbanan. The Gemara concluded as well that the halacha of pshutim is not applied here. Rabban wanted to make some sort of exception to show that Kli Zechuches is merely a tuma midrabbanan. Continues the Gemara, Rav Ashi Amar. Rashi is coming to answer this confusion. On the one hand, we say that Kli Zechuches has tuma because it is formed from sand and is close in nature to Kli Cheres. What follows is that it can't be immersed in a mikveh like Kli Cheres. The Gemara, however, asked the kasha. The Gemara asked a few kashas. Why don't we apply the halacha of gaboy? Why don't we compare it to Kli Cheres? Just like Kli Cheres is not makabel tuma megaboy, Kli Zechuches as well should not be makabel tuma through the outside of the kli. The Gemara as well asked, what about the halacha of yachzor to masan yishana? What about the halacha of pshuteim? Says Rav Ashi, that's not difficult, because in fact, Kli Zechuches is never compared to Kli Matris. It is connected, it is identified, it is put into the same category as Kli Cheres, strictly Kli Cheres. And therefore, certainly, it doesn't have any halachas of Kli Matris. It doesn't have the halacha of reverting back to its old tumah like Kli Matris. It doesn't have the halacha of pshuteim like Kli Matris. Because once again, Kli Zechuches is strictly in the category of Kli Cheres. If so, we have one remaining kasha. What about the halacha of migaboy? Why don't we say, just like klicheres, it's not mekabel tumah, migaboy? Klischuchas as well should not be mekabel tumah from the outer surface. Here's more inside. Ravashi amar la'olam, in truth, klicheres domu. Klischuchas is entirely connected and put into the same category as klicheres. And therefore, it doesn't have any elements, any halachis of klimatris. It doesn't have tumah yishana. It doesn't have the halacha of pshutim tmeim. So we addressed all that. We have one remaining kasha. What about your initial question? If they are connected and identified with klicheres, so just like klicheres is not mekabel tumah from the outside, from the gav, klischuchas as well should not be mekabel tumah megabon. Says Rav Ashi, I'll address that question. The answer is as follows: Hoyil v'nire toichay kivare, because klischuchas, unlike klicheres, glassware is see-through, it's transparent. One takes a look at it from the outside, he sees straight through it. There's no clear differentiation between the interior and the exterior. It looks like all one big thing. There's no hefsek, there's no clear delineation between the inside and the outside. Therefore, says Rashi, Loi choshev gav elotoich. Therefore, it has no concept of gav, since you can see right through it. We don't say that this is the outside and that's the inside. It's not clearly marked, and therefore the whole entire kli has one big status. It's not considered like this is gav and that's toich. It's all one halacha, and there is no concept of gav at all by klei schuchas. So once again, according to Rav Ashi, klei schuchas is entirely connected and identifies with klei cheres. However, with regarding to the halacha of gaboy, klei schuchas is different because one sees right through it, and there's no real hecker to differentiate between toicha and gaboy. It all looks like one big kli, and therefore it has no halacha of gaboy, and has no exemption of gaboy and a kibbutz kamot tuma, whether from within or whether from on the outside. So in summary, the halacha of klei schuchas, the chachamim applied a gzeira and imposed the halachas of tuma to glassware. Why is that? So we have two approaches in the Gemara. The first approach in the Gemara was that indeed a klei schuchas is a composite between the halachas of klei cheres and klei matris. It has similarities to both. On the one hand, it is close in nature to klei cheres because it is briyasei min ha'choil. It is created from sand, and therefore it is tamei like a klei cheres. It has no tahara b'mikvah like a klei cheres. The Gemara proceeded and told us at the same time, it is also close in nature to metalware. Why is that? Because just like klei matris, when it breaks, you can reform it, reshape it. The actual material has value. Similarly, glassware, even after it breaks, you can remelt and reshape it. So in that sense, it's close to klei matris, and therefore, it has halachis similar to klei matris. On the one hand, it's not mitame or mitame mi'aver. It cannot be received or transferred tumah through its airspace. In this sense, it's close. It's identified with klei matris. It doesn't have the concept of avir, unlike klei cheres, where the avir serves as a medium for transferring tumah. The Gemara told us it's also mitame migaboy. It also receives tumah from the outside, similar to klei matris. The Gemara told us that regarding to the halacha of chazur l'tumas and yishana, that halacha of klei matris is not applied to klei schuchas. Why? Because that's different. That's a tumah derabbanan. And finally, the Gemara told us regarding the halacha of pshuteim tmeim, that even a flat klei matris is tumah. That also is not applied to klei schuchas. The rabbanan want to make a hecker, a recognition, to make a statement that klei schuchas is different. It's only a tumah derabbanan. Therefore, they apply that exemption. Rav Ashi had a different approach. He says that klei schuchas is entirely identified with klei cheres. Therefore, it is tamei. Therefore, it has no tahara b'mikvah. Therefore, certainly, it is not chayzer l'tumas and yishana. That's a halacha unique to klei matris. Therefore, also the pshutim, a flat klei schuchas, is tar, because we don't compare it to klei matris in that sense. And finally, what about the tumah megaboy? Although klei cheres is not mitamei megaboy, klei schuchas is different because it is nearer. Toichoi kivare, because there's no clear distinction between the inside and the outside. It's transparent, it's see-through. Therefore, it has no halacha of gaboy, and it is tamei from the outside as well as from the inside. Continues the Gemara, Shimon ben Shetach, tikin ksuv l'isha. We learned this earlier in the Braisa, that he was masakin ksuv l'isha. As Rashi explained, he certainly wasn't masakin the concept of ksuva, but rather, he was masakin a takana, that one needs to commit all his assets. One needs to be meshavet all his possessions as guarantors for the payment of the ksuva payment to one's wife. Not, one is not meant to simply designate a certain item or a certain possession for the ksuva. Rather, he's meant to commit all his nechasim for the ksuva sisha. What else did he say? V'goza tuma akli matris. Shimon shatach enacted a gzera on metalware. Says Gemara, klei matris de'raisin inu. It has tuma min ha'toyer, l'chsiv achas hazov, as ha'kesef. We learn from a pasuk. Says Gemara, what then did Shimon shatach do? L'nitzrucha must be ela l'tuma yishana. He imposed this concept of a tuma yishana, that if a kli matris becomes tamei, and then one goes ahead and breaks it, perforates it, and repairs it, the kli reverts back to its initial tuma. There was a story regarding this queen, Shaltzian, she'asa mishtel avna. So she lived in the time of Shimon Shatach, and she prepared a feast for her son. And what happened? V'nitmu kol kelea, and all the utensils became tamei, tumas meis, and required sprinkling of the mei paraduma. You need to wait 7 days and be mazeh on the third day, on the seventh day. There was no time for that. They needed to make the suda on that day. So they discovered a shortcut. V'shavrasim, so she broke all the kelim. And by doing so, she rendered them unfit. And they lose their status of kelim, and they're tar. And what she do afterwards? Nasnasan letzorif, she gave it to a smith. V'rizchan, and he went ahead and he soldered it and repaired the kelim. V'asim kelim chadashim, so he formed from them new kelim. And it was just in time for the party. So she had kelim that in the morning were tamei tumas meis. Somehow, miraculously, by afternoon, they were all tar. Says the Gemara, v'amruch hachamim. You can't do that. Yachzur tumas nishana. They revert back to their old tumah. Even though technically speaking, they became tar upon breakage. Nevertheless, they imposed a gzera that the kli should go back and revert to its initial tumah. My time, and why did they do that? Mishum geder meichatas nogoba. In order to maintain, to safeguard the institution of meichatas, of the concept of the paraduma water, they wanted that it shouldn't be forgotten from Klal Yisrael. If everybody would go ahead and break their utensils and repair it, they will avoid using the meichatas, the mei paraduma. And the whole concept of paraduma will be forgotten from Klal Yisrael. Therefore, they will geyser, they won't may not do so, in order to maintain, to ensure the endurance of the water of the paraduma. Says Mahanich Lamandama, this works well according to the Shita, that holds Lo Yechol HaTumas Amru. This gzera does not apply to all other tumas. Elo Tumas Meis Blavad Amru. It only applies to Tumas Meis Shaper. Now we understand, and the reason for this is because of the concern of the Mei Para becoming obsolete. According to the opinion that says L'chol HaTumas Amru, that this gzera was applied to all types of tumas, not only tumas meis, which requires paraduma, but all the tumas as well, tumas sheretz as well, Michael and Amar. If so, what is the reason for that? The reason can't be connected and related to paraduma. So why indeed did they make gzera with regard to other tumas as well, that if a kli matris becomes tummy with a sheretz, and the person breaks it and repairs it, it reverts back to tumas sheretz? That can't be related to the reason of paraduma. So what is the reason for that? We must look for a different reason. Amar Abaye, the reason is gzera. Shema lo yikvenu b'chdei tarasa. Person will not be fully versed in the halachis, and his gzera is a concern that he'll perforate it not large enough. He'll make the nekev not large enough to render the kli really unfit as a kli. He'll make a small hole, small perforation, and he'll suffice with that. So therefore the chacham made gzera. One cannot go ahead and merely break the kli out of concern that a person might not do it properly. Once again, Amar Abaye, gzera, shema lo yikvenu, a person will not perforate the kli b'chdei tarase, large enough to be matar the kli. Therefore, the Chacham said that one may not do so. And indeed, it will revert back to his first tumah. Rav Amar, a different reason. Gzera Shama Yomru, that the public will gain the wrong perception. And they'll say, look, this Kli became Tamei this morning. Yisharetz touched the Kli. Ordinarily, as a result, you need to be Toivel the Kli. You need to wait for Harav Shemesh for nightfall. Lo and behold, look at the Kli. Ready in the afternoon. It's being used by the meal. It's Torah again. Apparently, there's no requirement of Harav Shemesh. Tvila Bas Yoyma. Oilala. Merely being Toivel and using it on that day is sufficient, without waiting for nightfall. That certainly is not the case. So in order to avoid this confusion and this erroneous perception, the Chum did not allow one to use this method. Again, Rav Amar Gzera, why did the Rabbanan impose a Tumah Yishana on the Kli Matris? Gzera Shama Yomru, perhaps people will say, Tvila Bas Yoyma Oilala, that the Tvila of that day without waiting for nightfall is sufficient. Says Rav Maimon Naim, so what is the difference, the practical difference between both approaches, between Abaye Svara and Rav Svara? Ikabu, now the difference is as follows. The Ratzfina Mirtzav. Suppose he didn't merely make a small hole. He went ahead and actually demolished the Kli. He crushed the Kli entirely and rebuilt it, reformed, reshaped it. So there will be enough Kamin here. According to Abaye, the Gzera will still apply because we're still concerned that perhaps the next person or the next time he won't do such a good job. And he'll merely make a small hole, which is not sufficient to nullify the status of the Kli. Therefore, the Chachamim employs a blanket, Gzera, that anytime a person breaks the Kli and repairs it, it reverts back to its old tumah. However, Rava's approach, that the problem is the erroneous public perception. People may think that Tvila Bas Yoyma Oila, that if you merely take a Kli and you toivel it without waiting for nightfall, that is sufficient. That concern doesn't apply in this case, because everybody will see it's a brand new Kli. They'll see it was newly formed, newly designed. Since it was entirely demolished, entirely crushed up and reformed anew, it's pretty obvious that is the basis for his tahara. There's no room for the public getting the wrong, erroneous perception. So in summary, we have halacha of Kli Matris that broke and were repaired. They revert back. They go back to their initial tumah, to Tumah Yishana. Why? So Gemara told us if we're speaking about Tumas Meis, then we have a simple approach. The Chacham were concerned that Mechatas will become obsolete. People will stop using the Mechatas of the Paraduma. Therefore, the Chacham disallowed this practice. According to the Shita, that this concept applies not only to Tumas Meis, but also to Tumas Sheretz. Why did the Rabbanan enact this Gzera? We have two reasons. Abaye says, we're concerned that the person will not be learned enough, will not know how to properly break his Kli. Shama lo yikvenu. Rava says, the concern is because of the public, that they shouldn't get their erroneous perception that one may simply be toivel a Kli and use it on that day without Harav Shemesh. People will not realize that he broke it and repaired it. They'll think that he toiveled it. And one may use a Kli as a result of Tvila without even waiting for Harav Shemesh. Now, one more question to be resolved here. Why specifically Kli Matris? Why is this Gzera only applicable to metalware, not other kalim? So the Rush says, the reason is because it is much easier, more convenient for a person to break and to repair metalware. You break it and then you send it to the smith to solder it and repair it in that way. It's convenient, it's easy. It's different than other kalim, where certainly it's more difficult to go ahead and to break and repair afterwards. Therefore, Chacham concerned, this is something which people have a tendency to do, and therefore they apply the Gzera strictly to metalware, to Kli Matris. Says the Gemara, okay, so we have a partial list of the 18 Gzeras enacted by the Talmidim of Shammai v'Hillel. What is another one of those Gzeras? V'idach mahi, says the Gemara, we learned in the Mishnah, this is not ha-meniach kelim tachas atzinar, one places utensils, kelim under the pipe, under the eftrah, to receive, to collect in them rainwater. Echad kelim gedolim, whether we're speaking about large size kelim, v'echad kelim ktanim, or even small kelim. The Mishnah will tell us that the water that's collected in these kelim are considered to have been drawn in a kli, have the halacha of mayim shu'uvin, and if they're poured into a mikvah, they can validate the mikvah. So this halacha applies whether the kli is a kli gadol, a large size kli. Tosis points out, even if it's too large to be makabel tuma, nevertheless considered to be a kli with regard to the halacha of ma'im shuvim. Bechad kelim ktanim, even if they're very small kelim. Rashi points out, perhaps I would think it's not chashiv, they're very insignificant. Nevertheless, they're considered to have a status of a kli, and the water in them is ma'im shuvim. Continues the Mishnah, even kelim that don't become tamei, afilu klei avanim, even stoneware, klei adama, kelim made from adama, from earth, klei glalim, some say this means marble or waste from animals. So these kelim don't have the stat, don't have the halachas of tumah. They're not makabel tumah. Nevertheless, with regards to this context, they have a status of a kli, and water within them is considered to be drawn water in a vessel, ma'im shuvim, and indeed says the Mishnah poisel in samikvah. Continues the Mishnah, echad ha-maniach, whether he intentionally placed the kli under the tzinar to collect rainwater, echad ha-shecheach, or even if he forgot it there. The rain that gets collected into this kli is considered to be ma'im shuvim. Divrei Rabbi Shammai, u'be'esil el me'tar me'shecheach. Be'esil say, if he intentionally placed it there, then certainly the water collected is considered to be ma'im shuvim. But if he forgot it there, he inadvertently left it there, in that case, there's no din of ma'im shuvim on the water contained in this kli. Amar Meir, indeed, nimnu, they took count, v'rabu be'shamay abe'esil. So this is one of those 18 gzeres, they took count, there was a machlekes, they made a count, and it turns out that the be'shamay were greater, were more numerous than be'esil, and they followed the raiv, and enacted a gzera. And this was one of those 18 gzeres, that even if you forgot a kli under the pipe, the water collected has a din of ma'im shuvim, and it's placed on something. Continues the Gemara, Umoidim Beishamai, B'shecheach B'chatzah Shutar. Certainly Beishamai agreed that if one merely forgets his kli, in the middle of the chatzah, in the middle of the courtyard, not under the tzinar, certainly there was no kavana, there was no intention of the kli collecting rainwater, and therefore the water in there is not ma'im shuvim. Amar Rav Yosi, I don't hold that this is one of the 18 gzeres. Adayin machlokes b'mekom ha'medus. They never concluded. They never acted a gzera. There was never a nimnu v'ravu. The machlokes between Shammai and Mesil in this case is still ongoing. It's still ongoing machlokes. This is not one of the 18 gzeres. Okay. The Gemara will explain the rationale of the opinions of Shammai and Mesil. Amar Shashi, Divei Rav Amri, in the Beis Medrash of Rav, they explain as follows. How do we frame this machlekes of Beisham and Sil? Everybody agrees, Hakol Moedim, all agree, Ksheinicham Bishas Kishirov, Tmeim, he placed the vessel under the tzinar, under the eave trough, when it was overcast and rain was imminent. Certainly, placing a kli in that situation is indicative of his intention of the kli collecting the rainwater within it, and the water is considered to be Mayim Shuvim. Everybody agrees, even Beisham and Sil agree. On the one hand, so Shas Kishu Oven is agreed upon all. On the other hand, B'Shas Pizur Oven, if the sky is clear, the clouds have dispersed, it's not overcast, rain is not imminent, in that case everybody agrees. B'Shamai also agrees that if he places a kli under the tzinar, in that situation, there's no intention, there's no kavana to the kli collecting rainwater, and therefore, even if it rains later and water is collecting those kli in that kli, it's tar, it's not considered to be ma'im shuvim. So where then is the machlekes between Misham and Misil? Lo nechelku, the machlekes is only in the following scenario. Ela sheinicham b'shas kishuv adam. He placed the kli under the tzinar, under the pipe, when it was overcast, rain was imminent. He intended on the kli collecting the rainwater within it. What happened? V'nis bazru. And then the clouds dispersed and appeared that it wasn't going to rain anymore. V'chazur v'niskashu. And then later on, it became overcast again and it began to rain and water was collected in these kelim. So what is the machlokes? Mar savar, Beisil holds, batal machshavta. His initial intention becomes nullified, even though initially he placed the kli. When it was overcast and rain was imminent, he expected rainwater to be collected in his kli. Nevertheless, afterwards, that there was pizur oven, the clouds dispersed. He was Masiach Das, he diverted his intention. He figured it's probably not going to rain anymore. And therefore, it's considered to be a nullification of his initial intention And therefore, even if it starts raining again, it's not considered to be a realization and an actualization of an initial intention, and therefore, it is not considered to be Mayim Shuvim. This is the Shita of Beis Hillel. Umar Savar Beis Shammai holds, Loi Batal Machshavtoi. His initial machshav, his intention, when he placed the kli under the tzinar, when it was overcast, that machshava does not become nullified. It doesn't become his batal. Even if the clouds disperse, we say that his initial machshava is still intact. And when it becomes overcast again, and it begins to rain, and rain and water collects in this kli, we consider this to be as a realization, as an actualization of his initial machshava, to indeed have this kli collect rainwater within it. And therefore, it's considered to be Mayim Shuvim. So once again, we have a machlekes between Bisham and Hillel. If a person puts kelim tachas atzinar, the Gemara concludes that if it was Bishas Kishur of him when the sky was overcast and rain was imminent, all agree that the water collected within these kelim is considered to be Mayim Shuvim. If you place it there Bishas Pizur of him when rain was not imminent, all agree that the Mayim in the Kli is not Mayim Shuvim. Machlekes is only when it was overcast and then it became clear and then overcast again. It was Kishur Pizur and then Kishur again. According to Beis Shammai, it's considered to be a realization of his initial Machshava and his Mayim Shuvim. According to Beis Hillel, his Machshava was Batal and it is not considered to be Mayim Shuvim in this Kli. Concludes the Gemara. So this is one of the 18 Gzeiros, according to the opinion of Urmeir. However, according to Rav Yosi, the Omer Machlekes, the Ayim Koyim and Medes, that they never concluded, and the Machlekes between Sham and Sila, in this case, of Kelim Tachas HaTzinar, is still ongoing. If so, we're missing one of the 18 Zeres. Batzri Lehu, we're missing one of the 18 Zeres. Says Umar, we'll find another one to replace it. Omer Nachmar Yitzchak. The other Zeres is Af, Benois Kusim, daughters of Kusim, of this sect of Kusim, Nida is Mary Sasan by Bim Gazru. Chamu Geizer enacted a tumma on the Bnois Kusim. Even if they're very young, they're merely in the cradle. They have a din of Nidais. Why is that? The Kusim were a group of people who converted and their geiris was questionable, and certainly they did not observe many halachas of the Torah, meticulously, including the halacha of Nida, that we learn from the pasuk that even a Isha who is one day old can become Tamei Benida if she sees Dam. The Kusim did not observe this aspect of Hilchas Nida. And therefore the Chachamim applied a Gzeira, they imposed Tuma on even a small girl of Kusim for concern that she might be a Nida. And since they didn't observe this halacha regarding the small girls, therefore we need to treat them all as Tameis. So once again, Af Benois Kusim, Nidois Mary Sosam, that they have a status of Nida, even one day old, from the cradle. So this Gzeira was Boy Bayam Gazru, was enacted on that day, and therefore, according to Rabbi Yosi, this will substitute the Gzeira of Kelim Tachas HaTzinar. Perhaps let's take a quick overview of today's daf and go back to the halacha, once again, of Klei Zchuchis, that the Chachamim went ahead and made a Gzeira on glassware. The halachas of Tumah V'Tahara apply to Klei Zchuchis, and the Gemara two approaches for the reason, for the basis, for the makeup of this Gzera. The first approach in the Gemara was that Klei Zchuchis is a joint breed between Klei Cheres and Klei Matchis. It has elements of both, and it relates somewhat to both concepts. On the one hand, since it's formed min achoil, it is similar to Klei Cheres, and therefore it contains Hilchas Tumah, and it has no tahara b'mikvah. At the same time, since if a Klei Zchuchis breaks apart, you can reform it, you can recycle it. In that sense, it's close to nature, to metalware. And therefore, it has a halachis of Klei Matchis as well. Just as a Klei Matchis does not transfer or receive Tumah through its airspace, Klei Zchuchis as well, just like Klei Matchis, can be mekabel Tumah from the outer surface, Megaboy, Klei Zchuchis as well. The Gemara concluded, however, regarding the other two halachis that pertain to Klei Matchis, for instance, Chazal to Masa Nishana, that if Klei Matchis breaks apart and is repaired, it reverts back to his old Tumah, that will not be applied to Klei Zchuchis, because that's merely a Tumah Derabbanan. The Gemara told us regarding the halacha of Pshutein, Tmein, a Klei Matchis which is flat, contains no interior space, it's not a Klei Kibbul. Nevertheless, it's tummy. That too will not be applied to Kli Zchuchis, because the Rabbanon want to make a hecker, call attention to the fact that Kli Zchuchis is only a tumah de Rabbanon. Rav Ashi's approach was different. He says Kli Zchuchis is entirely connected and related and identified with Kli Cheres. Therefore, it's tummy Kli Cheres, as a tahara like a Kli Cheres. It certainly doesn't have any of those halachis, like Chayzel Tumah Yishana, which is strictly unique to Kli Matchis. It requires a toich. If it's pshuteim, if it's merely flat, it's tar, because we compare it to Kli Cheres. There's one point that Rav Ashi needed to explain. What about the Tumah of Megaboy? Why, with regard to Tumah's Gav, don't we compare it to Kli Cheres? A Kli Cheres cannot be Mekabel Tumah from the outside, and a Kli Zchuchis could. Says Rav Ashi, difference is because Kli Zchuchis is nearer to Toicha Kivari, that we can see straight through it. It is transparent, it is see-through. Therefore, Rav Ashi maintains that it doesn't have the concept of differentiating between the inside and the outside. The whole concept of Gabbai is only when it is clearly differentiated. There's a clear distinction between the inside and the outside. The Gemara explained the halacha of Tumah Yishana, the Chomer Gzera, that if a Kli Matris, as the Mefarshim explained, since it's easy to break and repair, so we're concerned that perhaps the whole concept of paraduma will become obsolete and forgotten. So Chachamim applied a Tumah Yishana, that if one goes and breaks and repairs the Kli Matris that became tummy through a mace, it reverts back to its old tumah. He didn't gain anything. What about Tumah's Sheretz? Says Abaye, there too we're concerned that he might not break it far enough. Rava says, we're concerned about an erroneous public perception. People will think that a tefillah without Harav Shemesh is sufficient, and therefore the Chacham declared the Kli Matchis, which was broken and repaired, reverts back to its old tumah. Finally, Gemara told us that another one of the Yudchas Gzeris is a person who puts a kli under the tzinor, under the pipe, to collect rainwater. So if he put it there when it was overcast and the clouds dispersed and then it became overcast again and rained into the kli, this is one of the 18 Gzeris that we consider the water contained within the kli as Mayim Shuvim. According to Rav Yossi, no, the Machlekes is still ongoing. It never concluded in a Gzera. However, according to Rav Yossi, we must substitute this Gzera with the Gzera of Bnois Kusim, that the Chacham applied a Tumah to Bnois Kusim, even young, even one day old, even Mary Susan, even when they're in their cradle, for concern that they might already be Tamei Nida.